Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Channa Bahala Bhagavadir Hari. Gopi Channa Bahala Bhagavadir Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjanaya. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjanaya. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Yamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihariya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihariya. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvrajakachara Sotara Sadashri Shim Desvayan Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. Ma Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Vastaya Vidave Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamani Namaste Sarasati Dim Gaura Vani Pashani Nirvishesha Srimi Vani Paskajadi Sitarani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Canto 10, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 60, Krishna teases Rukmini, Text 43. Tam tvan varupam abhajam jagatam adisham. Atmana matra cha paratra cha kama puram. Shanme tavangrir aranam striti bir brahmantya. Yo vai bhajantam upayatyan yan rita pavarga. Yo vai bhajantam upayatyan rita pavarga. Tam tvan urupam abhajam jagatam adisham. Atmana matra cha paratra cha kama puram. Shanme tavangrir aranam shuti brir brahmantya. Yo vai bhajantam upayatyan rita pavarga. Tam tvan urupam abacham jagatam adisham. Atmanam atra cha paratra cha kama puram. Shanme tavangrir aranam shrutibir burmantya. Yo vai bhajantam upayat yanrita pavarga. Ladies. Tam, him, tva, yourself, anurupam, suitable, abhajam, I have chosen, jagatam, of all the worlds, adisham, the ultimate master, atmanam, the supreme soul, atra, in this life, cha, and, Paratra, in the next life, cha, also, kama, of desires, puram, the fulfiller, shat, may they be, may, for me, tava, your, angri, feet, aranam, shelter, strittibi, by the various movements, from one species of life to another. Brahmantya, who has been wandering? Ya, which feet? Vai, indeed. Bhajantam, their worshipper. Upayati, approach. Anrita, from untruth. Apavarga, freedom. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Because you are suitable for me, I have chosen you, the master and supreme soul of all the worlds, who fulfill our desires in this life and the next. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion by approaching their worshiper, give shelter to me, who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Purport. An alternate reading for the word strutibi is strutibi, In which case the idea Rukmini expresses is this: I have been bewildered by hearing from various religious scriptures about numerous rituals and ceremonies with their promises of fruitive results. Srila Sridhar Swami gives this explanation, while Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti give an additional idea that Rukmini might express with the word Struti be. My dear Lord Krishna, I was bewildered by hearing about your various incarnations. I heard that when you descended as Ram, you abandoned your wife Sita, and that in this life you abandoned the gopis. Thus, I was bewildered. It is understood that Srimati Rukmini Devi is the eternally liberated consort of Lord Krishna, but in these verses she humbly plays the part of a mortal woman taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Om Gyanatim Randisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Vitamina Tasma Shigravena Panchakalpa Tirubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vibhicha Patitano Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha. So in this verse, Rukmini is exhibiting humility. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that what's called a stai bhava, or a particular emotion or bhava, comes over Rukmini. And this is the stai bhava of dainya, or humility. So that humility that she's expressing manifests in that she is taking the part of an ordinary conditioned soul. So she says that she's been wandering through this material world from one situation to another. Of course, this is not the situation with Rukmini, but she's taking this humble position as if she were an ordinary woman, an ordinary living entity within this universe. And thus she expresses bewilderment. And that seems to be a theme here in this purport, and by some of the purports by the acharyas and the commentaries about how this bewilderment exhibits in different ways. So in this verse and by the commentaries of the acharyas, there's three different explanations of this bewilderment. And it seems to be that there's alternative explanations depending upon the use of the word struti be. And sometimes it's described by Vishwanath and by Sridhar Swami that an alternative reading is struti be. So, for those of you who are Sanskrit scholars, you can contemplate this. For the rest of us, we'll just have to accept it as spoken here, and there's not a lot I can add to the struti be and struti be discussion. Nevertheless, this is one of the very, very interesting aspects of our scriptures and interesting aspects of Sanskrit, is sometimes there are many different meanings, and we've encountered this several times. And of course, this entire chapter, right, is an example of how different meanings can be attached to the Sanskrit words. So just as Krishna more or less denigrates himself in the first 11 verses or however many they are, saying how he has all these bad qualities, then Rukmini takes those same words and shows how they actually glorify Krishna. So that's been going on, and now that is completed, we are hearing Rukmini speaking very, very deep philosophy, and this point she is saying that she is basically a bewildered living entity. So in this verse, some of the different types or explanations of this bewilderment, as she says, she's been wandering from one material situation to another. Certainly the living entity becomes very bewildered, going from one species of life to another, going through the processes of transmigration as the soul goes from one life form to another, through plants, through animals, through human, through demigod species. And of course, this is a very bewildering experience because of the identification that comes about with each of these bodies and the forgetfulness of the real nature of the spirit soul. And then some of the other explanations given here are that one becomes bewildered by hearing from various religious scriptures about numerous rituals and ceremonies with their promises of fruitive results. So even when the living entity becomes a little bit more aware, a little more self-conscious, and starts the process of self-realization, of wondering, who am I and what is the purpose of life, they still have every opportunity to become bewildered by different scriptures or different Vedic rituals, all of which lead one to the conclusion that the purpose of life is to materially gain status, to get the results of one's pious and fruitive activities, to gain materially, to get a higher life form, to go to the heavenly planets, etc. So in this way, also the living entity can become very confused about the meaning of life and the purpose. And then the third one that is mentioned here is, even if one is fortunate enough that one encounters Krishna and his incarnations and hears about them, one can still become bewildered by misinterpretation or misunderstanding of Krishna. He says, I was bewildered by hearing about your various incarnations. I heard that when you descended as Ram, you abandoned your wife, Sita, and in this life you abandoned the gopis. So the bewildering potency of Maya, once again, it's kind of almost in its final stage when one might hear about the Leela, the pastimes of Ram and Krishna, that one might become confused and think that these are the dealings of ordinary human beings. In other words, what we tend to do is, it's called anthropomorphizing, that we tend to give human qualities to God. The reality, of course, is Krishna has his qualities, and our qualities are a reflection of that. But people take it the other way around. They take our qualities more or less absolute, and then we tend to put those qualities on to Krishna. So, in other words, if we did such a thing, abandoned our wives or carried on with other women in the dead of night who were married to other people, this would be considered immoral. So, of course, this doesn't apply to Krishna. All of the rules of morality are made by Krishna. The principles of religion are those that are enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, they're his rules. And, of course, he always acts for good, and he always acts in the interest of his devotees. So if one does not understand properly the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then, once again, one can become bewildered. So Krishna's energy is quite bewildering. It can be very difficult to understand. It is described that very few people understand Krishna in truth. So it's not surprising that there are so many ways that the energy of Maya, of illusion, can cover the living entities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 8:5:30, it says, no one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. So this is sort of the ultimate bewilderment. There's all these other bewilderments along the way that we can mistake ourselves for the body, and we can think that the aim of life is for fruitive activities or to go to the heavenly planets. But ultimately, the greatest bewilderment is not understanding the purpose of life, not understanding that our purpose of life is to redevelop our loving relationship with Krishna. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all conditioned souls what appears to be an opportunity to be happy within this material world, but that is Maya. In other words, it is a dream that is never to be fulfilled. So that's kind of Maya in a nutshell. We think we're going to be happy here, but we never are. It's never fulfilled. Now, Rukmini's position, of course, is that she's exhibiting this in her this humility for the sake of preaching to the living entities, taking the role of a conditioned soul. But Rukmini can never become bewildered by the external energy. She can never be covered by Maya because she's the internal energy personified. Actually, Yogamaya and Mahamaya are expansions from her. So this is simply a part that she's playing in these particular verses. So I'll just say a few things about Yogamaya and Mahamaya, these covering energies, illusory energies, bewildering energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says in Purport 4:16:12, here are two kinds of Maya, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya, and both of these Mayas are different expressions of the Lord's internal potency. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord appears through his internal potency, Atma Mayaya. And in Purport 10:1:25, in the spiritual world, the Lord's potency works as Yogamaya In the material world, the same potency works as Mahamaya. So Prabhupada makes it very clear for us, and then he gives a very good example, a nice analogy. He says, it is exactly as electricity works in both a heater and a cooler. So you have one source of energy, electricity, but it manifests itself in two practically opposite ways, right? Heating and cooling are completely different byproducts of the same energy of electricity. So in the same way, that same spiritual energy, that internal potency, manifests as yogamaya in the spiritual world, in the material world, and manifests in a very different, almost opposite way as maya, as the material energy. So we talked a little bit about maya, mahamaya, and its ability to illusion the living entities and to cover the living entities from understanding their real purpose of life. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the role of yogamaya, of the internal potency, the spiritual energy, which is, of course, coming from Rukmini, Radharani. I came up with seven purposes, for those of you who are counting, for yogamaya, and I tried to find verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam which substantiate this. One thing I've noticed that when you read the works of our acharyas, like the Nectar Devotion, Bhajrasamrita Sindhu, there's so many, many, many different points of not just a philosophy, but how everything is working and how the process of devotional service works. And the acharyas always quote the scriptures to back up all of their statements. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the primary source. For the Vaishnavas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is our main source of evidence. Almost everything can be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of, it's complete. It's the complete philosophy, and practically everything, can be found within that Bhagavatam, and we can substantiate our philosophical statements. So, what does yogamaya do? First of all, it covers the atheistic person from knowing Krishna. We talked about that a little bit, and of course, the probably most well-known verse is really actually from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, yogamaya samavrita, covered by yogamaya, and therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. And here is a statement from Krishna book in chapter 84. Prabhupada says, for a person who has only a bodily concept of life and is engaged in sense gratification, you always remain covered by the curtain of yogamaya. So, first role of yogamaya is to cover the atheistic or the non-devotees. But the second role is that yogamaya conversely allows the devotees to understand Krishna. That same potency that can cover one from knowing Krishna can also uncover one and allow one to understand Krishna. In the purport Srimad Bhagavatam 2746, Prabhupada said, the Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of yogamaya, he helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionally with the advance of one's surrender. Another thing yogamaya does is Krishna manifests his spiritual energy through yogamaya. This internal energy is often the manifestation of spiritual energy. This is all part of yogamaya. In 3.6.35, it says, O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work, and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Word here is yogamaya balhodhayam. By the strength of yogamaya, all of this is manifested. And this was even talking about the universal form. And then 3.16.16, that material opulence of Brahma cannot compare to the opulence of the Supreme Lord, because the transcendental opulence in the spiritual world is caused by yogamaya, whereas the opulence in the material world is caused by mahamaya. So again, all of the variegated manifestations of Krishna's energy are carried out by yogamaya. Now, another point is that devotees are protected by yogamaya. Devotees are under that protection of the internal potency, of the spiritual energy of the Lord. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.23.10, and Srila Prabhupada's purport says, Devahuti knew that her husband was in a highly elevated, transcendental position and was under the shelter of Yogamaya. The Supreme Lord has two energies, material and spiritual. The living entities are marginal energy. As marginal energy, a person may be under the control of the material energy or the spiritual energy, Yogamaya. Kardama Muni was a great soul, and therefore he was under the spiritual energy, which means he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. So in one sense, we can say the living entity is always under the control of Maya, whether it's Mahamaya or Yogamaya. So we are never independent. We are always controlled by Krishna. But we have that choice, and this is the free will of the living entity, to be under the control of the external energy by the material energy of the Lord, or to be under Krishna's internal energy and be directly controlled by Yogamaya. And of course, that's the position that the devotee strives for. Yogamaya also helps direct and manifest Krishna's pastimes. There are many different examples in the Krishna book in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly around Krishna's birth. Remember all the switching of the babies between Devaki and Mother Yashoda. This all took place, was done by Yogamaya. And then it was described that the Yogamaya potency opened the prison doors, you know, made the guards go to sleep. All of these things, all throughout these pastimes of Krishna's birth, we see over and over again, Yogamaya was the principal architect of how much of that happened. Here is a description of this about the Damodar Leela of Mother Yashoda, how Mother Yashoda is, again, covered by Yogamaya. You know, she begins to, Mother Yashoda begins to become very philosophically astute, right? And she's starting, you know, she's seeing all of the cosmic manifestations. She's understanding, you know, sort of the whole spiritual material reality, becoming quite a philosopher. But she doesn't really like this, and Krishna doesn't like this, because it interferes with the Vatsalya Rasa. It interferes with the loving relationship of Mother Yashoda seeing Krishna as her little boy, as her child. So, again, she's covered by the Yogamaya potency for the purpose of the pastimes. Prabhupada says, that is the action of Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Supreme Lord, which acts to perfect all the pastimes of the Lord with his different type of devotees. And in that sense, similar idea, but you know, going a little bit deeper, we see that Yogamaya covers the intimate devotees of the Lord so that their love for Krishna can increase. One of the main purposes of Yogamaya in terms of the devotees is so that their relationship with Krishna and their particular rasa is uninterrupted. In fact, not only is uninterrupted or interfered with, but continually increased and becomes deeper and stronger. Going back to Mother Yashoda, in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.44, it says, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Purport. Although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? This forgetfulness is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya, Mohana Siddharmya Mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. And there's one other thing that Yogamaya does, one other role or purpose, and that's that Yogamaya even makes Krishna forget himself so that he can enjoy his own pastimes. If you think about it, and of course this is also inconceivable, we can barely think about, you know, how is Krishna thinking and how is Radharani thinking and all of these things, but to the degree that we can begin to try to understand, If Krishna is fully aware and cognizant of his role as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, the Lord and Master of all material and spiritual energies, you know, it might become a little more difficult, you know, to really get into and enjoy a relationship of being the baby for Mother Yashoda or being a young man, a lover of the gopis. So in one sense, he has to also enter into these pastimes, and Yogamaya helps Krishna. Of course, Yogamaya is Krishna's energy, so Krishna directs Yogamaya to help him to enjoy these pastimes. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anilila 429. The verse is, "The influence of Yogamaya will inspire the gopis with a sentiment that I am their paramour." This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. But then Prabhupada in the purport gives the other side to it. He says, "Yogamaya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotees and different transcendental mellows." So in other words, he has to forget himself somewhat to be able to fully enjoy these relationships with his devotees. And therefore, he has Yogamaya, his internal energy, to assist in that process. Okay. So finally, I'm going to read a little bit, kind of an overview, or I guess a summary, of the understanding of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. And at the end, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, in the end of chapter 1, some of you may remember, there's several pages called endnotes, where Prabhupada gives some very deep explanations of some of the different points in the Bhagavatam. They're very, very interesting. So this is a little portion, a couple paragraphs from those endnotes at the end of chapter 1, Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, the entire creation has two divisions, transcendental or spiritual, and material. Yogamaya manages the spiritual world, and by her partial expansion as Mahamaya, she manages the material world. As stated in Narada Pancharatra, Mahamaya is a partial expansion of Yogamaya. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikrita Hladini Shakti Rasmad. That's from C.C. Adi Lila 1.5. Bewildering the conditioned souls and liberating the devotees are both functions belonging to Yogamaya. Transferring the pregnancy of Devaki and keeping Mother Yashoda in deep sleep were both done by Yogamaya. Mahamaya cannot act upon such devotees, for they are always liberated. The distinction between the two mayas, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, is described as follows. Krishna's rasa lila with the gopis and the gopis' bewilderment in respect to their husbands, father-in-laws, and other such relatives were arrangements of Yogamaya in which Mahamaya had no influence. The Bhagavatam gives sufficient evidence of this when it clearly says, Yogamaya Mupashrita. On the other hand, there were asuras headed by Shalva and kshatriyas like Duryodhana who were bereft the devotional service in spite of seeing Krishna and who could not understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was also bewilderment, but this bewilderment was due to Mahamaya. Therefore, it's to be concluded, the maya which drags a person from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Mahamaya, and the maya which acts on the transcendental platform is called Yogamaya. So I thought that was a really nice summary that Srila Prabhupada gave. Makes it so clear to understand how Krishna works through his different energies, through his spiritual energies and through his material energies, and the main manifestations of those potencies are really two forms of maya. Yogamaya is the internal potency, the spiritual energy, and Mahamaya is the material energy. So in this way, these two mayas are bewildering the living entities in different ways, but one is acting to take the living entity, the conditioned soul, more away from Krishna and to keep them in illusion, and the other is to bring the living entity to Krishna and help us to develop and expand our love for him. So that's a little bit about this idea of bewilderment. And we had different examples here in our verse and purport of how Rukmini is at least manifesting different types of bewilderment. And although we can understand that Rukmini herself is the very source of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Any comments, questions, thoughts? Jivanath Prabhu.
Thank you. When you talk about the yoga maya covering Krishna so that he can enjoy the pastimes, obviously I'm sitting here and I'm smiling because it sounds really cool. But, you know, to actually, like you say, to really get it, you know, too much, you know, maha maya in me to get that, totally. So is there a time, as you become purified, where they're working together, yoga maya and maha maya, in, with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it, does it, or does one just stop and then all of a sudden, hey, I get it now because I've gotten to this stage?
That's a very interesting point. My understanding, and of course not being at that stage you're talking about where we fully understand these things, but my understanding is that when one becomes very purified and very spiritually realized, the distinctions become less. In other words, one, you know, distinctions are there. It never doesn't become all one. We see the variegatedness. But whether Krishna is working in through his Mahamaya or through his Yogamaya would have less distinction for a pure devotee. In other words, one sees Krishna working, you know, in all respects, and sees that it's the same source of energy, that Mahamaya is just another manifestation, is the next unfolding of that energy. But of course, the highly advanced soul also is clear about what is material and what is spiritual. That's part of intelligence. That's part of spiritual knowledge, is to have those distinctions. But in terms of how Krishna is working through those, you know, the pure devotee appreciates all of Krishna's energies. And even like Prabhupada gave the example, he says, well, why do we need to hear about the universal form, the Bharata Rupa, and the cosmic manifestation, and, you know, like in the third canto, and all the complicated, you know, processes of the 24 elements and how this one's doing, because it's all Krishna's energy. So the devotee relishes all of Krishna's energies and all of Krishna's accomplishments and everything that he does in that sense. Does that help at all? Or? Okay. Let's go over the side and then back to Madan Ohana.
You explained that so yoga maya is covering Krishna so he can forget himself and actually get into the mood of enjoyment without having to think I'm the supreme controller and all that.
Yeah.
So getting into that mood of enjoyment with the living entities, it's hard for my brain to really grasp,
yes,
that how Krishna needs even that covering, because first of all it's his own internal energy, yoga maya,
yeah.
And then my understanding is that Krishna always, he's simultaneously in the pastimes with his pure living entities, simultaneously also taking care of the minor energies and the activities there.
Yes.
So why does Krishna even need this covering? Isn't it that Krishna deals with or relates with his entities in the spiritual world out of absolute love?
Yes.
That was always my understanding.
Yeah, it is very difficult. It's a very deep concept. And when we start trying to think about, you know, the mind of Krishna, that's where we get, you know, we're really way over our heads. You know, it's like you know, we can barely contemplate it. I've given this example before, and actually heard it from Hridayananda Maharaj originally. I thought it was very good. So think of going to a play or to a movie, and, you know, you're sitting in, you're watching the performance, and you become really absorbed in it, okay? And so, you know, you really identify with the characters, you're very absorbed in the whole thing. It's very real. It becomes very real. Now, if the person next to you kind of bumps you and says, well, you know, this is just a play, you know who you are, you're this person, you know, and these are just actors. You go, well, yeah, I know that, but, you know, but be quiet, you're ruining it, you know, you're spoiling the enjoyment of it. So in the same way, yeah, Krishna knows what he knows who he is, and in fact, he's the source of Yoga Maya. It's his expanded energies, you know. But it's kind of like if you set up that situation, like you said, I really want to enjoy a play, so you set it all up and the characters, and you get into it. You know, you've actually organized it. Perhaps you've set the whole thing up. Maybe you're the director, but you still at that point you kind of sit back and just and forget all of that. You forget that you are the creator, the director, the producer, whatever, and you're just enjoying it. So I don't know if that's a good example or not, but I think it explains a little bit how, you know, and that's what Yoga Maya does for Krishna. Just kind of like creates that situation, you know, that covering, so that Krishna can just enjoy his pastimes with his devotees, you know, with a little, you know, like temporarily setting aside, you know, that knowledge. You know, like Prabhupada gave the example of like, the Supreme Court judge, you know, he's the Supreme Court judge. He has all his big his power. Maybe he's the President of the United States. But then he goes home and he's playing with his children, you know. Someone said, well, don't you realize you're the President or you're the Supreme Court? He goes, well, yeah, of course I am, but I'm just having fun playing with my children now. Don't, you know, like that's kind of the office. My, you know, I don't want to take all my work home. You know, I want to, so it's kind of like, you know, Krishna has to do all this stuff, you know, with creation, maintenance, destruction, and, you know, this is what he does. It's kind of like, I'm trying not to be mundane here, you know, describing Krishna. It's hard to give an analogy that, you know, doesn't sound mundane, but I think of it a little bit like that. It's kind of like that's his official work, but then what he enjoys is, you know, going home and playing with his family, that kind of thing. I don't know. Nartaka Gopal. Then we'll get back over to Madan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Bob. An interesting story in this connection. When one of our new Raman Reti devotees was going to take Diksha from Prabhupada, you know, people ask, what do you think your name is going to be? And she said, well, it'll probably be Maya, because I'm always in Maya. This was about 1971 or 72. So then they had the ceremony, and how, you know, whenever Prabhupada gives a name, your name is Krishna Das, everybody erupts. Jai, Srila Prabhupada. So he gave her her name. Your name is Maha Maya. Yeah. And there wasn't, nobody said anything. It was come dead silence. And then Prabhupada continued, just as there are different phases of the moon, so Maha Maya is a phase of Srimati Radharani's energy. And then everybody,
That's the vision of the devotee. It's, you know, all Krishna's energy, different manifestations, variegated. Yeah, I've heard Maya tell that story itself. Yeah, it's interesting. Madan Mohan or Pushkar.
Yeah. Well, now that you mentioned that, Ranchor from England, his wife was named Deva Maya. So when she got initiated, he told me, your name is Deva Maya, the energy of Krishna. And he went external. So he made this.
Yeah.
I was going to say that we just recently were reading about Vidura and how when Duryodhana said leave him with only his breath, you know, throw Vidura out of the palace, because he told Dhritarashtra, you never should listen to your son, he's a rascal, number one. You're maintaining a non-devotee. Pretty heavy stuff that he was saying. So then Vidura wasn't disturbed. He left and said, because he took the actions of the external energy as supreme. So I was, years ago, I used to think, what does it mean? And finally I understood it recently. It was like Prabhupada, he took the actions of this whole material world as supreme. Like, whatever's going on, it's all Krishna's supreme energy.
Yeah.
And we see that last tape of Prabhupada, that video, where he's speaking that purport in 10th canto. This is Krishna conscious to see. So the Mahabhagavats are seeing like that. Stavara Jangam Adekhi.
Yeah, that's very good. What could you say, repeat it again? The verse was that how...
Oh, the one about Vidura?
Yeah.
In the beginning, third, fourth, verse, what is it? I just read it. It's in the beginning of 3.1. He took the actions of the external energy as supreme.
Took the actions of external energy.
I used to think,
supreme.
Well, that sounds contradictory. That, yeah. You know, external energy, but it's supreme. But then finally dawned on me, somehow or other what it really
all
means.
All of Krishna's
energy. Vidura is a Mahabhagavata, and he's just accepting it.
Yeah. It's all absolute. Yeah. Okay, I think we have time for one more, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Well, the two things that remind me of, one with your question about how someone under the internal potency can interact with the external energy we see in today's verse. She said that it was the bhava of humility. So she's understanding certainly the internal and external energy, but she's thinking, I'm under the external energy. Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot of times with advanced devotees. They're extremely humble, and they think everybody's a devotee except themselves, which no one can imitate that. How's, you know, they, because if they're... And then there's when Lord Brahma was talking to Krishna right after he came back from stealing the cowherd boys, I guess chapter 13 or 14. And it said that Krishna never talked to him. He was saying all these nice prayers, but Krishna never even identified him and talked to him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he couldn't access his omniscience because he was too much influenced by the love of Mother Yasoda at the time. So that always struck me. It was...
He couldn't access his omniscience. Yeah.
Because he was being influenced by the love of Mother Yasoda.
I think there's a certain degree of when we get into Krishna's, you know, really deep pastimes and leelas, you know, that I've always kind of taken the attitude, you just hear them, you absorb them the best you can, you know, and you wait for the realization to come about at some point. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.